This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Welcome back to Checkpoint Intimates. We're a weekly gaming podcast where sometimes two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one on a gaming topic. Sometimes it's developer interview. Sometimes it's scraps from the show. It's a grab bag of Checkpoint goodness. And that's what you're getting this week. My name's
Checkpoint
Cringe.
Checkpoint grab bag.
Literally, we should rename it because it used to be just the Checkpoint team and every single week, I'm like, what am I going to get this week? What are we going to... And it's like, we have spoiler casts. Like, it could go in any direction. But this week, it's just a regular Intimates. I'm Jack. I'm here with Elliot.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Well, I've been on the show for a little bit. It's been...
You've been a busy little boy, haven't you?
I've been running myself into the ground. But, like, I don't really know that many people in Melbourne have been doing better than normal. So, I'm not beating myself up over it too much. But I was thinking about... Because I picked up my 3DS the other day and I started playing a bunch of older games and I was like, none of these are games that would work on, like, for a 3DS game, right? It would be PS3 or 360, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, being able to port a game from that generation to 3DS or going back to, like, PS2 games. Some PS2 games kind of got to PSP back when PSP was the next gen. But I was thinking about it in the sense of when Wii U launched... It got a bunch of dregs from PS3 and 360, but the moment next-gen PS4 and Xbox One launched, it was left behind. And I was like, how is Switch going to kind of play into that dynamic? And I'm kind of worried Switch is in a good point right now where it's getting decent coverage from third-party devs. You know, we're not getting some bigger series like Assassin's Creed is one that I would have expected to make a bigger jump over, given how easy it is in some respects. Obviously not. I'm not a game dev. I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't hold me to it. But for the most part, third-party devs have been good. And, of course, Nintendo has been good. Although this year, where are your first-party releases? I'm fine.
Ooh, say that, Nintendo.
No, flat out, though. Like, where are the first-party releases? Where is the big Christmas game? But it's fine. I'm really chill about it. that's a separate podcast. But what happens when all of the developers move across to Xbox Series and PS5? Like, we're maybe a year away from that happening. But I'm kind of concerned that Switch is just going to be left for dead from third party. Sure, it's going to get indies and Nintendo, but so much of why Switch is appealing is that you kind of get the best of all worlds.
Yeah, it's an interesting prospect, isn't it? Because, yes, for the longest time, the Nintendo console has been kind of third fiddle. Like, it's in its own kind of league. Mm. You know, obviously, it gets all the Nintendo representation, and that's... for a lot of people, a good enough value prospect to buy into it. But, you know, like, looking at the Wii U and the library of games, like, historically, third-party developers haven't been supporting...
It was bad.
...Nintendo consoles particularly strongly, you know? Mm. And I feel like it wasn't until the Switch where we really saw that Nintendo be on par with the other two big manufacturers as far as third-party support. And you raised a really good point, because here we are on the cusp of a new generation, a PlayStation 5 and an Xbox Series X and or S, and yet the Nintendo Switch is still the Nintendo Switch. It was already the least powerful of the three, now it's considerably less powerful, and as developers start making video games for the more powerful consoles, what happens to the Switch? And I didn't think about it until you raised it with me, and there's theoretically a future here where... games aren't being made for the Switch as frequently as they used to, simply because the hardware is considerably outdated.
I mean, it's not going to be as big of a problem as the Wii U had, right? Like, the Wii U had pretty bad adoption out of the gate. And then even, I think it was maybe a year and a half, where the Wii U, being Nintendo's lead console, overlapped with the 360 and PS3 being the lead consoles of their developers, like, or their manufacturers. We didn't see a whole lot of cross-release there. And so Wii U got really the worst part. The Wii is an interesting case as well, where because of the number of units that were sold, developers and publishers were like, well, we have to put something out for Wii, right? Mm-hmm. And so we just had like Call of Duty turned into shovelware. Like, you had good brands. I'm not like, I love Call of Duty, but like, for the most part, you expect a standard of Call of Duty, right? And then you go to Call of Duty Black Ops on the Wii and the DS, and you look at those games and you're like, this is so clunky, this is so dodgy. But with next gen, to be completely honest, I am pretty skeptical of what appeal next gen brings. Like, sure, there are going to be games released exclusively on next gen, some, you know, on release, more as time goes on, but for the most part, like, developers aren't saying we need more power, like from the PS4 and the Xbox One. Like, sure, that they're older systems, but it doesn't feel like we're squeezing every last bit of juice out of these consoles like the 360 and PS3 had, right? Like, The Last of Us on PS3, you put that next to what a launch game looked like on PS3, that's a night and day difference. With this gen, yeah, games look better now than they did back in 2013, 2014, but the difference is not quite as striking. And the biggest thing that I can see coming from next gen is fast reading, like load times, right?
With that, yeah, I don't know. It's so hard to make those judgment calls because I think, obviously, the better and better the tech gets, the more incremental the differences are. Like, you could, using your own example there, Jack, of the PlayStation 3, if you go back a couple of generations and you look at the difference between, you know, like, the NES and the SNES, like, yeah, of course, like, we're going to make giant leaps, like 3D and you know, black and white turning to color. And sure, those giant leaps are going to become smaller and smaller and smaller as we look to the future. But I don't know that, for me, means that, like, you know, what's the point of a new generation? It's like, well, any improvement is a good improvement. And even if the differences are less noticeable, I still think they're very, very cool.
I think it's more a matter of, like, the sort of demand that we... I mean, even in PC land, right? The PC mustard race here. Let's talk about it, right? Like, the graphics cards that we've seen coming out of NVIDIA and AMD, where we would, let's say, through the 360 PS3 cycle, we would have a flagship GPU launch every year, and it would be 10-15% better performance over the prior generation. And over time, like through the course of a console generation, that's such a massive difference. And I think from 2013, what graphics card, like the leap in PC hardware hasn't been as marked as back then. And so it's not just like, sure, we're going to get lesser and lesser results because people expect that and because that's kind of how technology works. But like, I don't know. Everything just doesn't seem... What I'm saying is I'm cynical. I just don't understand why...
You are cynical.
Literally, well, that's me also, but... I'm looking at the Xbox Series X, and I mean, I kind of skimmed through the Checkpoint episode that would have gone out early this week, if you're listening to this as it comes out on iTunes. And, you know, Luke speaking fairly highly of it with you and Colby, and I just don't care. Like, I just don't care. Like, it's a lot of the weirder niche tech. Like, Xbox releasing an updated mobile app where you can stream your home console to your mobile on, like, on 4G or something. Stuff like that. Like, I also am looking forward to the opportunity to maybe try Stadia or Luma or any of the cloud streaming technologies as Australia's internet improves. I think that's something that we couldn't really have said at the beginning of this generation. Back when Microsoft was like, let's try and pressure people, because the whole point of no used games is to try and encourage people to just go to digital, right? Now, we have two consoles that flat out do not have disc drives. And sure, some parts of Australia are going to feel a little bit, you know, rough done by it. But for the most part, if you live in a capital city, you've got, there's a good chance you've got NBN. You're on 50 megabits down, and it's not, I mean, 200 gigabyte Call of Duty can still piss off. But beyond that, like, it's not that. I flew off on a tangent. Ali, can you figure out where I was going?
Sometimes it's real hard to wrangle you and your thought processes. That's absolutely and somehow true. This is all supposed to relate to the Nintendo Switch.
This was a point that I was making 5 full minutes ago. The solid state drive in the PS5 and the Xbox Series, that's like, faster load times are a big part of what we can look forward to in this generation, right? And I think Ratchet and Clank was one of the big ones where it's like, whoa, you can go from one world to the other, and it's like, you just walk through instant. A portal, and there it is. And because of the way that Switch operates, like, as much as I had a bit of beef with cartridges when they came out, the load times of that versus a spinning hard drive, which is what you've got on current gen, I guess we're calling it old gen. it's like Switch's load times are significantly better. So I'm hoping that that will help some developers justify, okay, well, I mean, Switch, there are a lot of Switches out in the wild. We want people to buy it on Switch. And the Switch Premium, like, let's not forget about that either. Like, PS5 and Xbox Series games are going to depreciate fairly quickly in the same way they do now, right? Like at retail or used games. On Switch, you don't see that. You see games go in the eShop 10, 15, maybe $20 more. I mean, Brie has absolutely bought Skyrim on Switch at like $80 when it would have only cost her $70 on PS3. And, you know, the four other times she would have bought it as well.
I'm sure by the time she bought it on Switch, it would have had a $5 sale on the PC, you know?
Oh, it's absolutely. Like,
yeah, you're right. Depreciating value or a lack thereof on the Switch means that developers are more likely to want to make products for that console. Obviously, they get a portion of those sales. Having said that, though, obviously, as prices depreciate, more sales are generated. And so, you know, it's not like developers hate sales. It's not like it's a bad thing to be released on a console that has more steep discounts. But I kind of agree with you here, Jack. I think if you're looking at the Switch and you're worried about it because of the past, then some of those concerns you can throw out the window, because the past is things like the Wii U, where the adoption rate was so low that, of course, third-party developers, as soon as there was any concern about, like, different hardware and building different versions for different consoles, then they were like, well, don't worry about the Wii U then. Who cares about that? But I feel like the Switch is still, the adoption rate is high enough, and there's enough passion there. And enough people buying multiple different games, because the thing about the Switch, unlike the Wii, is that the Wii was an incredibly popular console to purchase, but
the software attachment. Yeah, true.
As far as the video games being bought for that system, there were specific ones, and Wii not Sports. Too many. Yeah, exactly. There were some games that people purchased for the Wii, and other games didn't get that high of a return rate on sales, whereas the Switch feels like just a home console that everybody loves and wants to buy multiple games on them, and they'll buy those games multiple times, even if they own it on other platforms. And that's not something you always get with a console. It's like, it's not just a high adoption rate, but it's a high love rate, you know?
Oh, the love rate. Oh, I want to use that as a metric. I guess the last point that I think we could probably address is, how do you think Nintendo should, like if you want to get personal, should, or is likely to address a bigger and bigger technical difference in specification between their console and the competition, right?
Like, well, they've got a couple of options, definitely.
Some of the rumors, of course.
Yes. Number one is that they definitely should be addressing this and thinking of it. I think there's a certain ilk of person who's like, oh, it's Nintendo. Who cares about the third parties? As long as they keep releasing first-party games, then they'll be fine. But it's like, well, sure, they'll be fine, but they'll be much better with third-party support too, and they should continue to strive for that 100%. They're already kind of figuring that out with the streaming side of things, as far as streaming much more powerful games onto the Switch. It's something we're seeing them do with Hitman next year. It's something they're doing it with another game this
Assassin's
year too.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey they did in Japan, where, like, for a Switch version where you don't have the game locally, you just stream it from the network.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, they did Odyssey with that with Odyssey in Japan, but I can't think of another. I know there are others, like you mentioned, but I can't recall them either.
They literally announced one quite recently. It was during a Nintendo Switch Direct where they said Hitman next year will get this and something, maybe it's Watch Dogs Legion or something like that, like
I
some
hope
new release.
The norm. Like instead of porting, they just like chuck it on a server locally and have it stream to the Switch. Like that's poor form. I really hope that isn't a standard.
It's one solution and it's better than nothing, but I agree with you. It's not, it's like streaming is never a perfect solution. There's always going to be latency issues there, especially for people with slower internets. But the other thing they can look to do is obviously make half steps like the other consoles are doing. Make a Switch Pro, make a, you know, Elite Switch version that is more powerful. Elite. And well, whatever. Yeah. I'll let the Nintendo marketing department name it.
Oh,
but,
don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we got new 3DS, new 3DS XL, new 2DS. Like, don't let them do that. I mean, the main two parts that I kind of see are an enhanced Switch, like the chip inside the Switch, basically. So you might have the same form factor, you might be able to use the same Joy-Cons, that, like, the backward compatibility will be preserved in the same way that, like, new 3DS had and Xbox One X had, but the chip inside is better. That would obviously kind of ruffle feathers of people that currently have a Switch, but it would probably be the cleanest cut to make. The alternative would be...
Why would that ruffle feathers?
If someone's bought a Switch, like, in the last year, and then, like, oh, there's a no Switch out, like...
Oh, well, bully for them. Like, this happens all the time, right? This happens with the 3DS, no, like, sympathy. 17 different times.
Oh.
With the 2DS and the 3DS and then the new 3DS and the 3DS XL, and it's like, people are used to this by now, surely.
Oh, you say that, but that won't stop them. As someone who's worked in the retail space and had to deal with customer service, don't.
I don't know, I hate that attitude of customers. It's like... You're putting your money down, you're saying, this product is worth my money, and I accept. And then you're like, oh, no, but I wanted it cheaper. And then you're angry at somebody else for making something different.
No, Brenda. Okay, bugger off. The alternative is a power dock, which is probably some kind of search that you don't want to do, but... to power dock your console, like, docking... It's fine, I'm not going to... to have a co-processor in the dock, I think that would kind of be the best of both worlds, but it would mean that games would be so, like, heavily compromised if you're in portable mode, because that's the thing. Like, you don't feel like you're having a super big trade-off whether you're playing in portable mode or in TV mode for the most part. Like, most games, sure, it looks better on the TV, or maybe because it's a smaller screen, it might run better in portable, but if you have a power dock, that just completely shoots the opportunity to have a good experience in portable, like, in some situations.
No, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So, it probably would be better. But
you don't need it to be as powerful in handheld, because the resolution is so much smaller, and therefore, you know, it's not going to look as bad, you know? Once you blow something up on a much bigger screen, that's where you see the imperfections, so... I don't actually think it's that bad of a solution, but I see what you're saying. It's still imperfect. It feels like there's always an imperfect solution here.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they don't kind of... I think Microsoft's move with the Xbox Series S in, we're not targeting 4K, we're targeting 1440p. Like, it's enough of an improvement over current standards, but is not like, we need to get to 4K. Like, I remember when I was marketing the Switch a few years ago, people were like, I've got a 1X at home. Can this Switch run 4K? And I'm like, you're missing the point. Like, move on, dude. Like, that's not what this is. But
can your Xbox be played portably?
Oh, I mean, there's some people. Call them out, Elliot. How do you really feel, Jesus? Yeah, I mean, I forgot the point I was making. Basically. Give us an upgrade
for you today, Jack.
There's a reason why I've taken a step back from the show. It's because I'm a scatterbrain. Like, I'm an absolute nightmare child. Editing the show is enough, like, silly little tasks to do in 1 week. To host a show? That's insane. I refuse. But if you want to listen to more Checkpoint goodness where I don't host, I mean, sometimes I do, but, you know, like, for the most part, trust Luke and Elliot more with this stuff.
We'll get you back, Jack. We'll reel you back in and
kicking
force
and screaming.
You.
Like, no, I don't want to do it. And then you're like, I think the moment the Joy Studios are open, I'll be like, you know what? Maybe I could do that. Maybe once we move to the new studios in like 17 years.
Oh, you're
years
revealing
time,
some information here.
There are some, well, I'm not saying where, I'm just saying
hush,
there are some
hush.
New studios. check out the rest of our podcasts. We upload 3 of them a week. And as someone who edits all of them, they're actually perfectly edited. And I can't think of a way that they could be edited any better. So please listen to all of them. Elliot, thank you for joining me on this nightmarish ramble.
Oh, thank you, Jack. I'm glad I was here.
You're so welcome. Thanks for listening. Everyone at home and on the road, we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.